Welcome back to another episode of The Mailbag, where we answer your questions. And this is a Brucey bonus this week because we're going to be answering two questions, but they're both on the same topic and one of them is a pretty short answer. So we thought we could definitely cover two aspects. Now, the first element is all around giving samples, getting in that horrible little room and producing a sample. This easy bit, and I had to refrain from doing the, I don't even know what they're called, you know, the
quote, little bunny ears.
Yeah. Quote unquote, the easy bit. As we know, we've covered on it, we dedicated a whole episode to it way back in series one about how it's anything but the easy bit. But anyway, we had a question in through Instagram, asked us, how do you deal with the pressure of producing a sample? And I'll just, and the second question, the second topic we'll be coming on to, it was a topic that came up in our community one day in the Nexus Fertility chat. A group of guys were all talking about abstinence periods. How long should it be? Because some were being advised certain periods, others were being advised other lengths of time. So we said to them, this isn't really for us to answer. Everyone's being told different stuff. Let's take it to a professional. So we've got an answer from one of the leading professionals on that. So we'll come on to that second because I want to address a listener. I don't even know what I've been talking about to come up with that.
Are you, I think you're thinking about the user of a room because we you do use them.
What ways?
Literally, you go in there and do the one thing that is deemed very private in life. I have a question for you before we get on with this. What was your first thought when you first walked in?
First room and the first clinic. I remember it so well. I remember the waiting room. It's like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And we had to drive like an hour away to do it as well because they didn't have the facility to do it where I lived at the time. And I just remember walking in, and what struck me was just how clinical, and I know that probably sounds obvious because you're going into a clinic, but there was just nothing. It was like everything was wipeable. The remote control for the TV was in a freezer bag. I don't even know if there are magazines, because I didn't go looking for it, and I didn't see any obvious. There was like a chaise lounge, like that pull-down tissue, like the giant tissue you get doctors, but it comes down over the whole bed.
Yeah.
I remember not wanting to touch anything, and so thankfully I had signal, so I just used my phone. But then even the pots, like, how do I aim in there? Because then the pot will be upside down. It's something you never have to consider. And then suddenly you've got all these logistical and practical nightmares happening. The pressure around, don't miss the first bit. The first bit's important. If you do, let us know, note it down, all this. My God.
My first experience, one of my first experiences, I should say, I remember walking into a particular room and there was a massive fucking window, right, with a blind on it. And the first thing I thought was, what if someone can see me? I genuinely remember thinking that I've got to do this. And then I remember taking note of the weird sink in the corner, which looked like...
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this.
They'd nicked it from like a hair salon where people put their head back into it.
I sent you a picture of one when I was at the barber's going, oh, look, it's your sink.
That's it. Honestly, there's certain things that you really remember. Like you've talked about the chaise lounge a few times. You've got to take it as it comes, haven't you? Like literally, the anxiety was high.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's like an out of body experience. It's so unsexy.
Oh.
And I remember Jenna saying, you get one for free, but then it comes down to the stereotypical thing of, oh, the easy bit, just go and knock one out. It's anything but. And I remember saying to her after, I think I probably was like white with shock. I was like, that was horrendous. I'll circle back to the question. There's so much pressure. And I had a time where I couldn't do it. I was in there for like 45 minutes, an hour. And it wasn't happening. I was in my head. And that is not a place you want to be in that. Because, you know, that the pressure was mounting. The paranoia was growing. I was like, oh, I wonder, they must probably be talking about me. Oh, they're probably saying, oh, what's taking him so long and all this.
Yeah.
And of course, they're not. They're going about their job. And it didn't help that in that occasion, I was next door to the staff room.
Yeah.
So I could hear them, I could hear the muffled sounds of voices. And I'm like, oh, they're probably going, oh, room one or whatever. Yeah, he's been in there ages. What's he doing?
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I had to walk out with the empty cup. I had to give it back to the receptionist because, again, this was like just the unfortunate circumstances around it was that it was one where they didn't have a hatch in the room. I had to go and give it into a